Please stand for the reading of the Gospel from Luke, chapter 4, 31 through 44. And when he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, "Hey! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent, and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed, and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judah. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Peace and grace to you from our Lord, God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I remember in the Orthodox Seminary, this is one of the favorite verses. I've shared this with Brock a number of times already, that this is why Peter denies Jesus three times, because he healed his mother-in-law. One of my favorite. I'm going to start with that, with focusing on what Jesus said when he was crucified. If they do this when the wood is green, what are they going to do when the wood is dry? Let me say it again. If they do this when the wood is green, what are they going to do when the wood is dry? And up here, that makes a lot of sense to us, especially like today. Dry wood burns well in a fire, in our fireplaces. Freshly cut wood that's not dead, but literally living, that really creates this huge problem if you're lucky enough even to get it going, right? And so Jesus' comment, if they do this to the Son of God, to the Messiah now, what are they going to do later when God is no longer present in His grace among His people? That's an important question. I was thinking about this sermon, and this is a horrible illustration, but I'll start with that, and I hope I get better as I go on. We have, you know, this organic thing? Organic foods and this and that. You know, we're getting crazy about this. So, could you imagine you walk into an organic restaurant, not restaurant, but store today, and you go up to the egg section, and you see one set of eggs, and they're $10 a dozen. And you go, wow, that's a lot of money. And then you look at the next section, and they're $50 a dozen. And you go, wow, what an incredible increase. What's the difference? So you call the store manager and really ask, what's going on? Aren't they both organic? And the store manager says, yes. Well, what's the difference? Well, you see the ones for $10, we play rap 24/7 to the chickens. The ones that are $100, $50, we actually play Bach, Beethoven, you know, and so, you know, they're smarter eggs. Totally ridiculous. It's interesting driving now more than I have been driving in the past. I'm looking at all the cars going by. And, can you imagine, and I was thinking, can you imagine being on the freeway right now? Let's say the 91, and you're on the 91 around somewhere between 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock. Doesn't matter what direction you're going in either on the 91, yeah? Pomona's like that exchange there. And, here you see a car next to you, and that car is $50,000 or $60,000. $50,000 or $60,000. I mean, it's got camis, it's got everything. It can go from zero, would this be about right, Paul? From zero to 100 in how many seconds would you say for a really powerful engine?
7 seconds.
Okay, and what is the average speed? 2 miles an hour. So you got a $60,000 car that with all this power, and the average speed on the 91 during those 4 hours is 2 miles an hour. Or you could have a beat up car that can barely be smogged and it's doing just fine because that's about as fast as it can go. 2 miles an hour. So here's a guy spending all that money going nowhere with this. Beginning to make sense there? And so we're not really paying attention to what's going on around us. Last week, it was Monday or Tuesday, my wife made an appointment with the DMV down in Temecula for us to get our license, change the address, and to register one of our cars. And lo and behold, you know, I said, I think we need to leave early. My wife goes, no, we got plenty of time. I think we need to leave early. No, we got plenty of time. So we left on her timetable. So we hit the freeway. We're about halfway there with the exchange. It's bumper-to-bumper traffic for about 10 miles. And I don't mean bumper-to-bumper. I mean parking lot. Nothing was moving. I was so proud of myself. I'm learning how to drive down there. After being here so long, I have to relearn. So I'm learning how to drive. I quickly got off of the freeway, and I took all these back roads, and I got there. And I kept saying to her, I know we should have left earlier because, you know, look at the situation, but we'll get there, we'll get there. I drove into the DMV, found a parking spot. We walked through the door 5 minutes before our appointment. I was so proud of myself. I did it. This is great. All these back roads, and literally I had no idea where I was going other than the direction in which I was taking. And I had a good idea where the DMV was, what side of the freeway. So that's about where I worked it all out. I was really patting myself on the back. Made it. This is awesome. Well, we were in there for about an hour or so doing this, that, and everything. And when we got out, we're walking to the car, and my wife turns to me and she goes, you know, you should have stayed on the freeway. I'm sure it would have worked out. You know, with that tone of voice like, idiot, you really didn't need to go through all that. So I turn to her in my loving pastoral voice. Honey, I appreciate your perspective. However, it would have been very nice if you had said to me, dear, I appreciate the hard work and the success that you got us here on time that you went through. And she goes, okay, dear, I appreciate the hard work and success you did when you got us here. I knew dinner that night was not going to be very good. Just knew it. That's what we have happening here in our text. Do you see something seriously wrong here? Something seriously wrong. And it's so obvious, you don't see it. And it's so obvious because it's something wrong here too. It's been wrong in this church. It's been wrong in our nation. It's been wrong in our Western culture. What if I were an ordained prophet, and I came to this church, and I healed a number of you, and I performed some wonderful miracles. I'm going to pick on you, Nikki. And then I turn to Nikki and I go, Satan, be gone! Well, I think Nikki would not be coming back to this congregation. Raise your hand if you would agree with that one. Yeah, okay. You know, I mean, if we put this in modern time, what was happening here, you could see some guys, you know, in the synagogue going, I'm not a holy roller. What's all this spiritual stuff going on? You know, I think I'll go to the Nazareth church. You know, where Jesus came from, they threw him out. Now I know why. You know, and I know he's not going to show up there again, so he won't be doing this kind of thing anymore. We don't have to put up with this anymore. Notice what happens in the text.
Satan, begone.
Notice their reaction. Their reaction is, whoa, does Jesus speak with authority? Wow, this guy's got some awesome power, right? What's missing? What's missing is, if I did say to Nikki, Satan be gone, all of you know that she's possessed. And you're still going to have a cup of coffee with her afterwards. You're still going to have a donut. Notice there's no reaction from the people in the congregation here in the synagogue.
Oh, there's a demon in our synagogue. Oh, God, how did that happen?
They're not reacting to that. They're reacting to what Jesus did and his authority. They're not reacting to the problem. Could you imagine going in a synagogue today and actually having a demon-possessed person there, that it's demonic presence in the synagogue? And I'm going to make the argument, guess what? It is. Many synagogues are. How about us? Have we had demonic possessed individuals in this church? Absolutely. Do we have them in the other churches? Absolutely. Is the devil present? There's an old saying, a poem that I like very much, that whenever you build a church, Satan builds a chapel there within, and before long, his congregation is larger than the congregations. Who's the very first person in the church? Sunday morning. Satan. Who's the last one to leave? Satan. Because he's a murderer and a thief. He doesn't want you to have the joy of the gospel. Amen? So in our text, there's no surprise. Really stop and look at that. There's no surprise. There's surprise in Jesus. Whoa, somebody got rid of this guy. But there's no surprise. Now here you have the Jews. You know, and you know, they're praying like crazy and they're doing their thing, and then you have this next guy go, that's possessed. And that's okay. Nobody's paying attention. Why are we paying attention? What if Christ said, if they do this when the wood is green, what are they going to do when it's dry? Are we paying attention? Are there demonic temptations in our lives now? Are there people that really eat at our souls and our minds and our hearts that we struggle with? That constantly, somehow, for some reason, take away the joy and certainty of the gospel in our lives? Are we dealing with people that we love that are in severe pain and are struggling? Do we have issues in our families that tear us apart and put strains on our relationships? Yes. Should we accept that? Should we accept that? Should we go, oh, well, that's just the way life is? What if we do that? Then we invite Satan and the demonic to have a permanent presence in our lives. Well, it's okay if you tell a little white lie. You only have to worry about the big issues, not the small ones. What does God tell us over and over and over in Scripture? To keep watch. to keep watch over every little detail. Every little detail. Are we not in spiritual warfare? I remember when I started basic training, all the DIs came from Vietnam. And one of the things he told us, we had a fill-in for one day, and he told us, I would honestly ask all of you to stop smoking. That's when you still got the cigarettes and the C rations. Stop smoking. You will live longer. And we instantly, oh, you're talking about cancer. And he goes, no, I'm talking about a bullet in the head. In Vietnam, there were snipers waiting to see the glow of the cigarette. Because they knew on the other side of that cigarette was an American. People died from smoking. I mean, literally died. Boom. Isn't Satan out there and all the demonic just waiting for us to light up for that little glow, that little opportunity to nail us? We should never, ever be caught off guard. How many times have you said something without thinking? Raise your hands. And wished that you had never said it. How many of you have made a decision without stopping to reflect and, more importantly, to pray about it and offer it to the Lord to find out what His guidance is, and wish you had not made that decision or took that action? Again and again, Old Testament and New Testament, what are we told? Keep watch. Now, what's really beautiful about our text today is Jesus was in the synagogue, and Jesus did heal the man and did drive out the demon. And in Capernaum, what was going on? Jesus drove out all the demons, and He healed all the people that came to Him. Now, this is interesting because who built the Capernaum synagogue? Was it a devout Jew? No. It was a Roman officer, a politician.
Oh, I wonder why there was a demon there. Not that I'm going to say anymore.
Jesus, He was paying attention. Do you ever see Jesus caught off guard? Does Jesus always know what He was doing and where He was going? Yes. We may fail in this church individually. And we may fail collectively. Jesus does not fail. God the Father does not fail. The Holy Spirit does not fail. Here's the simple law and gospel. We fail to do what we're supposed to do. We do not keep watch. We do not stand on guard of our hearts and our minds and our emotions on a continual basis, individually or collectively. But the Holy Spirit does. Amen. And what does that Holy Spirit? It cries out to the Father, Abba. It is constantly interceding to the Son who intercedes on our behalf to the Father. One of the most remarkable things in the Gospel of Luke is before Jesus chooses officially and publicly the 12 disciples, He prays all night long. He prays all night long, exactly as He prays on the night of His arrest in the high priestly prayer and the night in the garden. Who's He praying for? Himself? No. He's praying for the 12 that He's giving them. He's saying to the Father, Father, I know they're going to fail. Lord, I know. These guys are bumpkins. I know it, Lord. But still, they are the ones You have called to be chosen by Me. You have chosen them as the cornerstones of the church, the gates from which all men will enter into the holy city of the church, the body of Christ, the faith of redemption and the joy of the gospel. Strengthen them. Encourage them. Christ started interceding for His disciples then. He started interceding for us then. Christ has never stopped interceding. Now He's at the throne of the Father. Amen. And He's still interceding. He hasn't stopped. Now, should we be sloppy and say, well, why bother? No. We should do our best to stay on guard. But if we are found asleep, if we do have that smoke, if we're not paying attention, We have our Lord Jesus Christ to do it for us. Amen. But that also means, here's, I think, the reason why the Christian churches are dying in America today. We have accepted and thereby invited the evil one in our midst because we are willing to tolerate that which God Himself does not tolerate. Let me say it again. This is a hard teaching. We, as a Christian people today, tolerate and accept that which was unacceptable and intolerable just 60 or 70 years ago. And so now Satan sits with us. And what does he do? Hey, give out a little more. Give in a little more. Give in a little more. Give in a little more. Caleb and I were watching this morning Ken Davis, the comedian, Christian comedian. And he made a statement. He goes, he was speaking to a group of pastors, and he says, I've been married for over 40 years. And he goes, wasn't that great? And all the pastors stood up and gave him applause. And he stopped and he goes, isn't that marvelous? They applauded me for 40 years of marriage. Shouldn't that be every marriage? And to death do his part? Shouldn't that be every marriage? And then they all sat down and he goes, yes, I've been 40 years of marriage. Now it's been 7 different wives. At which time all the pastors got really upset. He goes, that's a great way to get pastors to shut up. And he goes, no, no, just joking. 60, 70 years ago, was it tolerated for a pastor to remain a pastor if he was divorced? No. Today, is there any significant factor about a pastor being divorced in most churches in America today? No. Does a pastor have to be, and is he expected to be chaste in most churches today in America? Can he choose his or her own sexual orientation that's outside of the Bible today in most Christian churches? Mm-hmm. There's a saying in the Middle East that the fish rot from the head down. Amen. We have allowed the demonic to come into our churches. We have allowed the devil to be here because we have undermined the authority of God. One of the key differences, the key difference, and most of the time you won't be able to see it. The key difference between our church, Missouri Synod, and our other Lutheran church up here, Elka, I'm sure they have beautiful worship and they do worship with the other congregations and other Christians and we don't. But the key difference between them is that when they look at the Bible, they say the authority of the Bible comes from men. God did not write this. Men wrote this. They had dreams. They had visions. They drank a little too much. Whatever. So, everything in here, the only thing that gives it authority is when we say it has authority. So if the Bible here talks about homosexuality as a sin, does that have any authority on us? No, because we don't accept that. Therefore, if we don't give it authority, there is no authority. That's Elka. And that's the majority of a lot of Christians today. We, Missouri Synod, what do we believe? We believe this is the authority of God. This is His Word. He wrote it. He inspired it. He maintains it and He works through it. This is a means of grace and salvation. This is a living gospel, not just ink and paper. And therefore, everything that's in there to the smallest detail becomes an obligation for us to accept as the authority of the Divine Father in heaven. We don't pick and choose. He picks and chooses us. And aren't we lucky that we're here today? We're lucky to be here, because we've been called by Him. But also we are committed to that authority, which is God's authority. It's Himself given to us. In our home, should we permit the devil to be invited? No. And the devil in this country, at his very greatest time in his history, would not permit the devil to sit in the front room of our homes. Today, it's called TV. Amen? It's called TV. And the things on TV today, if I watched when I was 10 years old, just a small portion of anything on TV for the most part today, I would have been slapped around the house. Right? I'm sure you would have been too. Unacceptable, intolerable. But our standards have slipped so low. And we've allowed those standards to slip low in our lives as Christians and in our church. And I think that's what's happening in the synagogue. The fact is that nobody was shocked that there was a demon in the synagogue in worship with them. They were, whoa! The demon, even more so, the demon responds to Christ. He has authority. Wow! But they were not concerned that the demon was even there in the first place. What is the whole goal of a true Jewish man? Is to be righteous before the Lord, right? To live by the law. The Torah, right? How could you live with the Torah as the center of your being, allowing another person to be demonically possessed, an enemy of God, and seeing it not a problem? We have the joy of the gospel that God does it for us, but we also have the responsibility of the law. We're not off the hook here. We fail in the law, but that doesn't mean we don't keep running that race. Amen? And we don't keep continuously standing guard over ourselves, over our families, over our friends, our neighbors, and especially our church. Because he's just waiting for the opportunity, amen, to tear us apart, to separate us from Christ. And Christ would not allow that to happen, but we should not make it easier for the devil, amen. And all of God's people said, amen.